Hey, what's going on, everybody? This is John. I just wanted to drop a quick note here. The episode that you're getting ready to listen to was originally part of a series called Hit Points, and it was a Patreon exclusive. So when you listen to the episode, you'll probably hear us reference that. But since we're releasing the Mashals Button show soon, we want to go ahead and release all of these to the public just because, you know, there's no reason to have them behind Patreon anymore because the content that you'll hear on the Mashals Button show will be similar. So I hope everybody enjoys the show. And if you are interested in help supporting Mash Those Buttons and the Mash Those Buttons show, you can just find us over at patreon.com/mashthosebuttons, where you can receive Patreon rewards for as little as $1 a month. So without further ado, enjoy the show. Hello and welcome to Hit Points, a show exclusively for supporters of Mash Those Buttons. Today we're going to be talking Gears of War 5 Impressions. And, if you don't know me, I am Jared, also known as Ja, and I am here with Mikey Kenny, also Mikey Phillips, also known as Keylock.
You're good. Hey, what's up, everybody?
Yes, and I'm also here with Corey, also known as Kurbara.
How's it going, guys? How you been?
Good, good. So, and if you're listening to this, that means you are a supporter of Mashals Buttons, probably on Patreon. So thank you very much for your continued support. And you can feel free to suggest topics for Hit Points on Patreon or in the supporter Discord channel, which is discord.me/mashthosebuttons. Just attach your Patreon account to your Discord account and you should see the supporter channel. So we're not going to waste any time. We're just going to kind of hop right into Gears of War 5. We all spent the last week playing it. I would say this is this gear is, just like, you know, as an initial impression, has pushed the game, is the most different Gears than any Gears that's come out, right? It's the most different one. It's definitely tried to push the game forward. You know, it really isn't the same old Gears. And one thing that struck me a lot with this Gears of War was that even though Gears is primarily, like, you know, it's known as a co-op game, I do believe this game is best experienced solo. You know, for several reasons. What do you guys think?
I'm not a Gears fan. I really never have been. None of them have really ever struck my chord. I literally only played this because I heard really good things about it from everybody and being like, if you're going to play a Gears, play this one. And then Game Pass was like $2. So I was like, sure, here's $2. I'll play Gears 5. Right. It's a good third person cover shooter. If you're into that.
It's the father of cover shooters.
It is. If that's your cup of tea, I'd say this is a good game for that. If it's not, I don't know if it's going to change your mind.
I know for me personally, I had a great time playing it single player by myself, but when we try to get together and do a co-op, it was hard to really pay attention to the set pieces and the dialogue and action going on. It really wanted you to focus in on that, but while we were talking or just laughing at things, you'd miss a bunch of stuff.
Well, I mean, there's that and the fact that we kept having desync issues, we kept having connection issues, we kept getting kicked back out to lobbies. Because, like, you know, there'll be an error with the cutscene. Because remember, like, we beat that Swarmac in the one chapter, and we kept getting kicked out into the lobby after, like, waiting to load for a minute, and I just went in by myself. It didn't even load. It just went directly to the next cutscene, and I had to bring you guys back in that way. So there were, on PC at least, there were a bunch of bugs with the co-op, which was interesting. But my main thing about saying that the game is really catered toward a single-player experience is that, so if you are playing as Kate, you see things that the other players do not see. You know, if you're playing as Kate, like, she has these visions and things like that that kind of go along with the story. I mean, at this point, if you're listening to this, I'm assuming you've played Gears 4, and if not, I'm sorry, I'm going to spoil something a little bit for you. But at the end of Gears 4, you find out that Kate is related, like, her grandmother was related to the Horde. I mean, it's a pretty easy dot to connect. You know, point to connect, like, oh, she's related to the Horde. She must, you know, her grandmother was had this symbol of the Horde. She must, you know, be related to Queen Mira, right? So that's basically, you go into this game kind of understanding that. They don't really reveal it, you know. But yeah, so that is one thing. So I would see like a vision of, hey, Mike, did you see that? And he's like, see what? I'm like, oh, guess not, because it was like pretty clear, you know, that there was something in front of me. And there's parts where there's this one part in particular where you take control of the locust involuntarily. And, you know, I would take control of the locust and I would see like my teammates firing at me. I'm like, they can clearly not tell that that's me, you know. And it's a cool thing that they put into the game, but it really does feel like the game itself was kind of catered toward a more single player experience. And I'm not knocking it for that. I just thought it was interesting for a game that's really, you know, known for its co-op and
right, you know,
playing together.
And also it's weird because they added that whole robot that's supposed to be like, hey, have someone who maybe isn't good with shooters play with you, but they can go and do this. Like that to me screams like, hey, play this co-op. But then you just, but then like you said, it seems like it's catering to single player. So it's this really like it's like a clash of ideas. And I just don't know. It's just weird.
There's also that, like I played the robot and he's very limited to what he can do, where he can go. Like you can fly, but only where the game lets you fly. Like you can't control your altitude or anything. It's like, I hope I can go to this ledge and get over here. Oh, I can't. All right. There's a wall. And your weapon, even if you like upgrade a little bit, does not do a whole lot of damage. It's mostly just a bunch of tickling.
it doesn't feel that like, and you're talking about playing as Dave and Jack, and we're going to kind of get into that. That didn't feel fully fleshed out in terms of having a player control it. When no player's controlling it, I think it's awesome. But when a player's controlling it, it's just kind of like, you know, they can only do so much damage. You really have to communicate and work together. Like, you know, when you're using certain abilities, you know, if there's a third player controlling Jack and let's say he does like the freeze or the shock trap or something like that. Well, I mean, those things are almost a little useless unless one of the players with the guns takes advantage of it, you know? So in my opinion, they did it. And I'm like, okay, well, that's cool. Cause Gears is traditionally a two player co-op game. And they finally gave you a way to add a third person into it. I'm just kind of like, yeah, they could have left that out. And honestly, for the next Gears, if they left it out, I wouldn't be upset. That, you know, about, you know, no, don't get me wrong. I want the robot in the game. I don't want a player to be able to control it, though.
Well, it's just not as fun as playing as either JD, Del, or any other characters and using the guns. Like, I literally cannot pick up a gun. I can only use what Jack has. And hopefully find enough components to make me better. Otherwise, I'm just sitting there watching going, well, this is fun.
So let's actually dive into the robot, which in the beginning it's Dave, and then Dave gets fucked up and it turns to Jack. It's the same thing, right?
Del would argue against that, but okay.
Yeah, he would. So the robot is I thought this was a very smart way for the Gears of War team to bring a modern, I wouldn't say it's like super modern, but like, you know, in most shooters now, players have like abilities, right? They have like abilities and things of that nature. And it was a great way for them to bring abilities into their game because, you know, when you play Doom and you have abilities, well, you're fighting demons. You're playing Control and you use abilities. Well, it's fucking Control. You know what I'm saying? Like you have this paranormal
Control. That just explains it.
Yeah. You know, you're playing Bioshock and you have abilities. Well, plasmids and
drugs.
You know, drugs and shit like that.
Lots of drugs. Great.
But and while Gears, Gears is supposed to be a fantasy world. You don't have fantasy of that nature, right? The world is very solid. You know, it's guns and metals and, you know, weapons and things like that.
Things have logical, make sense of why they work certain ways.
I don't know if it's logical for a chainsaw to fit on a gun, but sure, yeah. Okay.
It's not logical to put a chainsaw on a gun. It just seemed like a good idea at the time.
I just want to challenge. Cool. It looks cool. I just want to challenge the logical bit because I'm like, I don't know if a chainsaw and an assault rifle is really logical, but sure, we can make it work.
No, what Cliffy B is like, I want to be able to saw people in half. Do it. And then the designer got to work. But So basically what a robot does is it just simply brings abilities into the game for you, right, as the player. So you can do things with the robot, like you can scan the area so you can see enemies behind cover. You can place traps. You can cloak allies. You can, at first you can like flashbang enemies, but then you actually can upgrade that ability to freeze enemies, which becomes incredibly important in my opinion. You can fortify your allies like with a personal shield. They call it the stem. Or you can actually just have the robot project the shield, which also is pretty game changing. And I'll get into that in a little bit.
Well, even the stem is also very game changing. It helps compete against the dumb AI when you're playing by yourself.
Yeah, that is true. And, you know, you can grab ammo and objects from a distance. Like you can be in the middle of a fight and running out of ammo. And obviously enemies drop weapons when they die. And if you can see where the weapon is, you can tell the robot to go pick it up and bring it to you in the middle of a fight, which is pretty cool. You can also get to remote objectives because of it and, you know, things of that nature. So that having Jack in the game really helped the game out because Gears, I think one of the biggest complaint of Gears, you know, let's be honest, like the game came out in what, 2006 originally, I think 2005, 2006, and it was the father of cover shooters, right? That's its shtick. That's what it does. But over the course of six games, that becomes very grindy, right? The way Gears usually flows, it's very linear normally. And you go from area to area, you pop behind cover, and you peek out and shoot, peek out and shoot, peek out and shoot, move up, peek out and shoot, peek out and shoot, move up. And it becomes very grindy to do that same thing over and over and over again for 8, 10, 15 hours. It gets very tiring very fast. And this is kind of the problem I had with previous Gears over time, right? It's the same game for the most part. It doesn't change that much and it gets like really grindy. That's why I think like while like, people complained about the first Gears being short and the second Gears being kind of short. And that's because at the time we were used to really long games. But if you mm-hmm. think about it, that style of game should only last you a few hours, you know? And that should be it. Now, whether that justifies a $60 price tag is a different story. That really comes down to how much you enjoy the multiplayer, right? And what they're doing, with these abilities, this gives you the chance to make the game a bit less grindy, right? So Gears of War, you always have like the Locust and you have the little guys who are usually easy to kill. But then you have larger enemies that are usually kind of like a pain in the ass. Like anytime a Scion popped out, in Gears 4, I'm like, oh, I roll my eyes. I'm like, this guy's gonna be a pain in the ass while I'm trying to deal with all these other guys. But now, like, you know, when the Scion comes out, if you have your freeze ability available, you just freeze him in place and you can shoot him in the head. Or the Warden, I think the Warden is a new enemy, I think. I can't remember if he was in Gears 4. I don't recall him being in Gears 4.
I don't remember him at all in Gears 4.
Yeah, I think he's a new enemy. Like, in the beginning, he's kind of a pain in the ass because his headshot's only on the Warden, right? Any other shot doesn't count. But as soon as you get your freeze ability, fuck that guy. Like, you can freeze him once you get his helmet off and kill him with no problem, you know? Placing the shock traps in certain areas, especially after you upgrade them, allows you to manage a certain space on one side while you engage on the other side, you know? Being able to cloak yourself, it just really changes up how you can play the game. And it's not as grindy. And, you know, I said that shield that Jack gets later in the game is handy because once you have that shield, you don't even have to play behind cover, really. That shield moves with you. It moves with you, and you don't have to, like, play behind cover, so you can play a bit more aggressive if you really want to. So, having all that made the game a lot more fun for me, personally. What do you guys think about that?
I mean, I used, like, the abilities constantly. I really loved using the hacking ability to hack, like, the strongest enemy. Have him wipe out the small guys so that once it ended, we all just focus fire on him and fight's done.
Yeah, I did have one problem with the hack ability. Like it's called hijack, right? But the way they explain it is they make it seem like it just works on the robots, but it also works on the Locust as well. You can hijack Locust. I'm just like, how does that work? Ah, fuck it, whatever. Kill the guys, right? Like, you know what?
Apparently, the way they explain it is he shoots an electrode into the brain of whatever it is, because that's how they actually hijacked the robots ones originally. They hijacked the the leeches into their brain and sends a signal to them to make you control it. Doesn't make sense, but it works.
Yeah, whatever. Okay, fine. I can control my enemies. Great. That's basically how that works. So it is a little inconsistent, though, because smaller enemies, you can get that upgrade where it says enemies will explode after the end of the control. It doesn't work on large enemies. Like, if you get one of the guys that has, like, the turret on its back or on its arm, wherever the fuck that turret is, I can't tell what body part that is. That guy doesn't explode. You still have to burn it down after you get him off. So, but yeah, I mean, I think the abilities were a huge change, and I honestly think it was one of the best changes they've made in the game series since Inception.
Well, it's like, I like the stim pack. When you upgrade that one, you can upgrade to where it revives yourself once you activate it, which helps against the enemy. Yeah. Like, I had a bunch of AIs, but still not revive me. They get near me and would just not revive me. Like, fine, I'll do it myself.
I never really had that issue, because even Jack will come and revive me. But yeah, because usually by the time I'm in the third act of a Gears, I'm kind of ready to be done, right? And there's some other things we're going to get into, but not with this game. Like, I was all the way through, I was fine. I was, like, you know, entertained, I could say. And then the upgrades you could do just make it that much better, you know? Like, yeah, you know, for the scan, I added the ability so that it will scan enemies take 20% more damage. So, you know, I always had the scan up where I can. One thing I really like is the system they had in place to quickly switch abilities. Because before I recognized what that was kind of a pain in the ass. And it's not like they tell you about it either, right? So, you know, once you, because there's a menu for you to actually pick and upgrade your abilities. But if you hold down on the PC, it's shift. So whatever button is on console to see your objectives, if you hold that down, you can press different buttons to cycle through the abilities and change them up based on who you're fighting. So they made it very simple to use multiple abilities at one time, and I thought that was pretty awesome. So that was game changing. They also added a stealth element to this game, which, I mean, it kind of, if you can manage to stay stealth, it does keep, you know, it helps you kind of wear down the enemies a bit, or kill really poorly placed enemies, you know, before it starts. If you can manage to actually completely wipe out an area stealthily, you'll avoid fighting larger enemies. Like, if the alarms go off, like you'll see larger enemies kind of like pop in and stuff like that. But you are playing Gears of War. That's kind of what you're playing for. So you might want to do it anyway. Like, for me, it wasn't even worth avoiding that in some cases because of pain in the ass. Because, like, some enemies are just being your path and they'd be looking right in your direction. It's like, well, how the fuck am I supposed to get around this person? Fuck it. I'll just shoot them. You know, like, it's put in there and it helps out a little bit, but it's not really a focal point. Right. And the enemy AI does not see that you're friendly AI. Like, I have friendly AI run straight through an enemy encampment and not alert the enemies. So that it's only you that gets caught, right? But yeah, the stealth kills, I mean, they were kind of cool, but they're very situational. I don't think they really spent too much of the game worrying about it, to be honest.
No, because it's like you said, the whole point of Gears is to fight big, ugly fucking things and kill the fuck out of them.
Exactly. So,
and it kind of slowed down the game a little bit too much to make it fun with the stealth.
Well, that's the funny part. Gears is already a pretty, it's a pretty slow, it's a cover shooter, right? It's already slow. So now you want to stealth, and now you want to make it slower.
Well, that's kind of the thing, though, right? Like, the abilities that Jack provides actually helps you to speed the game up. Cause one of the reasons it's slow is because, like, you know, when the Scions are shooting at you, you have no choice but to just stay undercover until they, like, reloading, or, you know, until they announce really that they're ready to be shot.
I'm really glad that after all these years, I still haven't learned not to yell, "I'm reloading over here," just to let you know, "Hey, yeah, this big gun I've been shooting you with, I'm taking my time to reload it."
Yeah, it's time to shoot me now. Like, they basically announce it. And now you don't even have to you don't have to worry about that, because from behind cover, you can be like, yo, Jack, go freeze that guy, or go place a trap, or go flash this person, and they go down much faster. Like, the dealing with enemies is way faster than it used to be.
Yeah. Unfortunately, like, all the shooter games I've been playing have been playing more like Doom, and I kind of got myself killed a couple times, because I was like, oh, that's right, I'm not supposed to keep moving. I need to actually up and do things versus the constant movement that I've grown accustomed to lately.
Well, there was also, I had a weird thing with the AI. Once I went stealth, went right behind him. My other teammates stayed on the other side fighting the enemies, and I just kept shooting from the back, and they never turned to shoot at me for some reason. I'm like, I'm not invisible anymore. Why aren't you guys shooting at me? I guess I'll just take advantage of this.
Well, and another reason why maybe I felt this game was faster is because, you know, I played all the other Gears. I did play Gears 1 on PC when that came out because they had that extra level. But since then, I haven't played any Gears on PC. I played them all on console. And this is the first Gears I've played since Gears 1 on PC. And, I mean, I can use sniper rifles. The Boltok is one of my favorite guns. Like, almost every shot is a single shot. You shoot him in the head, almost every shot is a one shot. You know what I'm saying? So that's another reason why this may have felt faster. But also, I mean, the fact that you can freeze and cloak and fortify and shield, that, like, the game just moves faster in general, right? But like I said, Gears is kind of known to be a grindy game, and I think one of their objectives was to kind of remove that grind a bit. And in order to remove the grind, you have to make the player feel like they're progressing, but also not doing the same thing over and over again. So the stealth is part of that, I think. Also, something that's part of that is the open world. Now, so actually, here's the thing. People call this like open world. I call this, in my opinion, this is more like a hub world, right?
Yeah, it's more like Uncharted. Like, the latest Uncharted games is open world kind of aspect. Yeah. It's more similar to that.
These are levels like you would find in like Super Mario, like Odyssey or something like that. Like, in different parts of the level, there's different things to do, you know, because the levels aren't that big. I mean, you can literally get from one side, because there's two of these open worlds or these hub worlds, right? There's two of them, and you can get from one side to the other in about 2 minutes. Like, it doesn't take long. You're given a vehicle, this thing called the skiff, and you can kind of like slide around on it and get from place to place. But this is also, I believe, to help break up the grindiness and the monotony of the game of move forward, post up, move forward, post up. Because when you get the skiff, you got to get off of it sometime to open up gates. Then you can find areas, you know, like, you know, side areas to get stuff. Your main missions, like, those are clearly different areas, right? You could tell when you're loading into a different area to handle like a mission or something like that. And then when you get into those areas, those missions don't last that long. And sometimes they have a lot of walking involved, right? That was a problem. Like, there was a lot of walking and talking in this game that wasn't in previous Gears. So I think they kind of overdid it in that aspect, especially in the mission areas, because the mission areas were there to deliver story for the most part. The side mission areas I felt to be a bit more action-oriented, you know. But yeah, the mission areas were there to kind of deliver story. Like, when you go to New Hope, there's just a lot of talking. And there's some talking. There's some stealth parts. There's a little bit of fighting, but it's really not that much there. And that's a main mission. But you come out of New Hope, and there's side missions and stuff like that to do. So, yeah, the open areas, I think, help break down the game. They're a nice distraction from the normal gear stuff, but I think they kind of overdid it in the story areas, where you're walking slow and you're not shooting anything, or they're putting you in fake danger. So the first open world is like in snowy area, right? And so there's an ice storm coming down, and they're like, oh, we got to get out of the ice storm before we die, blah, blah, blah. But I mean, if you stand there, nothing's going to happen. You see where the big ice chunks are going to come down, because they kind of tell you, right? Like, they shoot little ice chunks down first, and then the big ice chunk comes down. So they're kind of like saying that you're in danger, but you're not really in danger, you know, like, you know, and that's what kind of happens. And the thing about the side missions that I did appreciate is that, like, yeah, they are side missions. You can, if you want to, you can completely ignore them, but they help you power up Jack. Like, the side missions will give you components to power up Jack.
Well, just exploring the world in general helps you power up Jack.
Yes, that is true. Like, because you do get components, and that's what Jack's upgrade currency is.
I was just like, I'd barely done any mission or any of this, and I was just exploring the world, and I was finding shit left and right for him, and I was like, cool, he's going to be fully juiced up before I get near the end of this game at this rate.
Right. Well, the side missions... Oh, sorry, go ahead.
I was during, like, looking at the tab, it shows you how many collectibles there are and how many components. There was, like, hundreds of components that I just missed completely in the side areas. I looked around and couldn't find them. That aren't part of the missions. They're just somewhere in the overworld. You'll find them, be able to upgrade Jack.
Yeah. Like, the thing about the side missions, they usually worked in pieces. Like, you would have to complete 3 side missions to get a full upgrade. Like, you know, to get the freeze ability for Jack. Like, that's completely optional. But that changes how the game is played. You know, if you can get all 3. Now, the first overworld with the side missions was super easy to find the side missions because there's 2 areas that allow you to unlock where all the hidden stuff is on the map in the first open world. In the second open world, you just got to find the shit. And usually it's marked by these yellow flags as you're like driving by or skipping by, you can see. So like it's there. It's not like you don't have to get off the skiff and then go look for stuff, right? If you're skiffing around, you look for yellow flags. And when you find a yellow flag, that's how you know that there's something there. You know,
and that's what I didn't like about the second area as much is they didn't have that where I could find where the areas were. It was a little like I had to go over there and just hopefully I ran into it and found where the area was. I like hit every side of the map and finally found the last mission I missed.
Right. Yeah, that's the thing. Like the first open area was easier because once you get to the main missions take you to these comm towers. And the comm tower, like you're looking for something very specific, but while you're looking for it, you'll stumble upon all these other areas of interest. And so those are your side missions. The second open area does not have that, and you have to find the stuff manually. I think the side missions, like I said, it's not hard to explain, but it's just like, you know, you have to think about all the way Gears played before, extremely linear, and it's the same thing over and over and over and over again. And by the time Gears 3 came around, those missions were long. And they really, I think, in my opinion, did a good job of breaking up the monotony. It's like, okay, well, I'm going to play in this area for 5 minutes, and then I'm going to skiff away and go to the next area and skiff away. And the thing is, like, even if, like, you know, you're going to the next area and kind of fighting the same way, and you're skiffing, the skiff break is kind of in between. It feels like you're making progress, right? Every time you went to a side mission and you finished it, you would kind of, you'd walk away with something, right? You'd walk away with components, like, you know, like a lot of components, or you walk away with a piece of the thing that you needed for the upgrade or something like that. You always felt like you made progress. You always felt like you were moving forward. So in my opinion, even when you were not doing the main missions and skipping around, the side missions didn't feel like a waste, you know? So I do appreciate that. And I think I understand what they were trying to do. Like I said, my only gripe is that in some areas, you are just walking and talking for way too long. Like in the second open area, when you go to the first main mission, right? You fight a group of locusts. And I think for the next, like, almost 10 minutes, you're walking and talking. Like, there's no action happening. You're walking through areas that you know there's going to be a fight, for sure. Like, you could just tell by the way the area is set up that there's going to be a fight here.
Well, you can see the weapons and the ammo crates. You're like, so something's going to happen here eventually.
Exactly. But, like, yeah, that's they did go a little heavier on the story a bit. But yeah, that would be my only gripe with how they handled this, this game. Now, another thing that they really kind of ramped up on and kind of changed how the game was played is that they really ramped up on environmental kills, I think, or environmental hazards. So in the first open area, it's icy and it's snow and it's cold. And the second open area, it's desert and it's hot. So in the first open area, there are these areas where there's thin ice. And the enemy's on thin ice, and you can actually shoot the ice and make them fall into it. That you could take an enemy that's extremely difficult to deal with, like a warden or a scion that's shielded by another enemy, right? Because that happens sometimes. Fuck them, just drop them in the water. That's it, you know. And it helps you, like, so it actually helps the game because you can feel like you're in an overwhelming situation, which you're supposed to, because in many of the areas, there's only two of you, even at the most, there's only four of you, and the enemy is supposed to be overwhelming you, but you have ways to kind of deal with it, and I really like that. Mike did not have the greatest experience on the thin ice, though.
Nope! Yeah. So yeah. Basically, every time I didn't notice the platforms and I thought I was supposed to fight them across the ice and just be like, keep moving across the ice and just get to them. But apparently, like, they'd break the ice on me, but instead of me just instantly dying, I would just fall forever, like out of bounds.
Right.
And then I'd have to reload and go back. And then I'm like, I don't know how far the checkpoint was, but it was getting fucking annoying. So I just kind of stopped.
Yeah, I don't think the devs intended that. Like, they probably just didn't. It's oversight on their part.
Then exactly, if you don't intend for me to go there, don't let me go there.
Like, really should expect the player to make the mistake of being on the ice. If they both can fall through it, just assume that some player is going to get on there.
Well,
or maybe they might. The thing is, like, they may not have programmed the locust to break the ice. What may be happening is that the locust may be missing you and hitting the ice, and the mechanic of the ice is to break.
I don't know what was happening. I just noticed, like, it happened three times, and all three times I fell infinitely. So I was like, I can't. Yeah. Like, I fell infinitely once in Borderlands and I continued on and I was like, fine, whatever. But like, right. I can't keep. And I was like, I guess I just wasn't noticing the platforms I was actually supposed to go to. But like, I just was done.
No. I feel like that is frustrating. But like, from my perspective, like when I was doing, I'm like, this is cool. This is a great way to help deal with enemies and not have to sit in one spot for too long. One thing they nailed this game, you do not have to sit in one spot for too long. You just don't, you know. You clear the enemies out. There's multiple ways to clear the enemies out. In the second area, like, you're going to see more barrels, more exploding barrels. There's pipes and stuff like that, that if you shoot them, like, they'll fire. So like when a boss or a sub boss comes down, like let's say a carrier, for example, there's one boss fight where the carrier comes down and you're kind of in this hallway and you can keep backing up. And as the carrier is coming to you, there are these pipes that he's going underneath. And you can just keep hitting with the pipes. Normally, a carrier fight is annoying as fuck. And you can just kind of deal with them super fast that way, you know, because nobody wants to, like, fight a boss for that long. Because the thing about Gears, traditionally, Gears of War has had terrible boss fights. It's like they just can't figure it out with the mechanics, right? With that cover and shoot mechanic, I feel like they've always had trouble with boss fights. I haven't played a single Gears of War boss fight that's been fun. This game included. Let's be honest with you. There's two major boss fights in this game. Three, technically speaking. And they're not fun. Like, you just kind of do them, you know. You just kind of do the boss fights. That's it.
I don't think I only had one boss fight this time that actually was relatively annoying. And that was just because I forgot to use some of my tactical abilities correctly.
Right, yeah. So... Yeah, there's the thing about Gears, though, about this Gears in particular, though, the sub, like, they help you deal with the sub bosses faster. So instead of having to deal with the sub bosses over and over again, every time they come out, you're like, oh my God, what a pain in the fucking ass. You know, you're just kind of like, okay, let me deal with this sub boss real quick. So I believe, obviously I'm not a Gears of War dev, but I believe that's kind of what they were aiming for. And it worked, but yeah, the environmental kills, like, all this kind of adds up, right? I'm not saying get Gears of War 5 because of environmental kills. Like, it all adds up, right? You got more environmental kills. You got open areas and the player abilities. It leads to a different experience, a more enjoyable experience for me.
Well, I know for, like, the same area, I had traps. I had shock traps on one side to take care of the juvies, and I used the live ones to take care of the boss. It made it so much easier to get through.
Right, yeah. And it makes you feel like you're doing something, you know what I'm saying? Like, you're using your brain. Like, Gears of War is a very brain-dead game, generally speaking. You know? Don't poke your head up when they're shooting. Poke your head up when they're not shooting and shoot them. Ugh.
Or they might go, he's looking over here. I'm not going to put my head up.
I'm sorry. Did you just describe exactly. every cover shooter? That's just basically.
Yeah, I mean, that's the curse of Gears, right? Like, as a successful franchise, it's the father of the cover shooter. But that was over 10 years ago. Things have changed, right? You got to have a bit more depth to your game.
Yeah.
You know? So.
And they actually tried to upgrade on some of their stuff and add a lot more depth than they used to be.
Right. So they definitely added depth to the game. That's for sure. So there were a bunch of new weapons. There's the cryo cannon, which is it's cryo, lets you freeze stuff, which is helpful because if you freeze somebody, you can just like melee them and boom, they're dead. The flashbang grenade, which I never used myself. I got flashbanged once, but didn't make a difference because I had the tracker on. So I just killed everybody while I was blind. You know,
the one time I used the flashbang grenade, I grenaded them and myself.
Oh, yes. Yeah, so that's another great reason not to use flashbangs. And there's the Talon auto pistol, which is basically, it's like a submachine gun almost. Like I found that I liked it when I used it, but I got to be honest, I just used the Boltok more. And there's the brake mace, which thanks to Mike, my Dell had in his inventory for almost the entire time I was on the ice open world. Cause you picked that, like that. One of the last things you did was you picked up that mace and then you're like, okay, I gotta go. You know, you went to bed the night. It's like, me too. And then when I started the game, he still had it and he wouldn't put the shit down.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
I forgot. That's one thing I actually enjoyed on this game is every time the cinematics or something happened, what weapons you were using is what weapons they had on their person or they were carrying.
Right. Yeah.
Sorry about that.
It was just funny. But yeah, the break mace is with the warden. And I mean, honestly, I think so. We played on intermediate. I normally play on harder difficulties, but I just wanted to get through the game. But on harder difficulties, I think the wardens would have been a bigger problem because they are definitely seem like a one hit kill type of enemy.
Yeah, like, you know? The break mace was cool once you got it, but it didn't have very much a charge. So like after a couple of hits, it's gone. And now you have to wait till another warden to get another one.
Right. So, yeah, I mean, the new weapons are okay. My favorite one was the Lancer GL. That was my favorite one. Like, it was a faster firing Lancer. It had a tighter spread and it had rockets. Like, you can just you could paint a target with the laser, and when you let it go, it would shoot rockets over there. It was a great way to deal with enemies. The only time they got the Lancer GL out of my hands when they forced me to switch weapons. Like, you know, you fall in a hole and you lost your weapons, or an event happens and now you have new weapons. That's the only time I got rid of the Lancer GL.
Like for me, I always had the Lancer GL, the Claw LMG, just because it can, if you knew how they had the button correctly, just hold it. It would fire extremely strong shots, take down almost any enemy, even sub bosses super quickly. And then my third was using the Boltok.
Yeah, my second, I would switch from like the Marksa to a shotgun usually. So,
yeah, I really enjoyed the shotguns when I actually got one. Like, it was nice.
Oh yeah, the Nash is a classic. So
yeah, and then I love the sniper rifle. I don't know why the sniper rifle in this game like feels good to me, but it just does.
Yeah, no, because it like when you shoot somebody in the head, it like pops the head. That's
right. That's true.
So it is a nice feeling. So
what? I never remember this, but what's the bonus on the active reload for the sniper rifle?
I'm not sure.
I think most of them are extra damage.
Is it just extra damage?
I think most of them are extra damage. Let me double check.
Yeah, it should just be extra damage. One thing I noticed that you can do an active reload even when your ammo's full.
Yeah.
So if your ammo's full, you can do an active reload and get the power up.
Right.
So.
Which I constantly had that up when I was in the boss fights, just so I had the extra damage going into them.
Right. Yeah. So, I mean, for the most part, I definitely enjoyed the game. Like, I think they're right. If you're going to play a Gears, make it this one. I mean, if it's just not your thing, it's just not your thing. It's whatever. But the gameplay is faster. It feels like less of a grind. The game is broken up into the gameplay itself is broken up and delivered in smaller chunks, which I think helps with the overall presentation of the game.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So it's
a beautiful game too. Like, it looks fucking
great. Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
And one thing, if you did want to see the other Gears games, they had opening cinematics for all four of the previous games. Just give you a summary of what you missed.
They did. Yeah. I did
they catch you up. I'll just if you wanted to play Gears and you want to play a third person like shooter, this is one to play. If you're not into this, if this just isn't your genre, though, I just don't know if this is really going to...
This is not going to change your mind, no.
No.
So the thing about this, like, I want to talk about those catch-up cinematics real quick. The Gears of War story is so flat, generally speaking, that their catch-up cinematics are actually pretty accurate. Most catch-up cinematics are not, like, they're missing a detail or something like that. The only detail that they missed was about Dom's wife. And by the time Dom got killed or killed himself in Gears 3, I couldn't give a fuck about Dom. I really couldn't. I understand that they did terrible things with your wife, dude, but you're whining right now. This is Gears of War. I'm not here for whining.
But they want you to have feels.
Yeah. If I want feels, I'll go play Journey.
No, you're right. Like, you're right. Oh, my God. But you're right. Like, the Gears story has never been, like, a vast wealth of, you know, whatever the fuck's going on. So, their catch-up stories can be easily, you know, maybe not easily done, but just, they can explain the story of Gears pretty simply.
Yeah. I mean, this one is probably the most complex of the stories. Like, they've been trying to make the Gears story a bit more complex since Gears 3, but in my opinion, the Epic just kind of failed at making Gears 3 story complex. They try to make, like, you know, you had these guys who for two games straight were just, you know, man, grunt, grunt, grunt. And now Gears 3, gotta save my dad. Oh, man, they killed my wife. Wine, wine, wine. Oh, Cole, I used to be a football player. No, I'm not. Like, you know, like, yeah. No.
I used to be a football player and now I'm not.
Yeah, like the way they I just don't think Epic was the one for that, right? So, but what the Coalition has done with a story like Gears 4, you know, like, you know, people hate the cog, right? In Gears 1 through 3. You know that they hate the cog. They never really go into why they hate the cog. Why would they hate the cog? We're constantly saving their asses. We're fighting the locusts away. We're saving their asses. People hate the cog. Well, in Gears 4, actually, Gears 4 starts with like almost like a recap of Gears 1 through 3, but from somebody else's perspective. And even stuff before Gears 3, like with the cog and UIR conflict, and it explains way more why people would hate the cog. You know,
there's a great reason why they hate the cog, because they fried most of the planet except for where the cog lived. Usually pisses people off when you blow up their home.
Right. Yeah. So, you know, the newer games did a better job of explaining why they hate the cog and where's the conflict and stuff like that. But also adding more personality, you know, to the characters, you know, like in Gears, the original squad in Gears, they were just a bunch of tough guys for the most part.
Man meats.
Yeah, you had, you know, a jock, a smart ass, the military man, and the rebel, like, you know, pretty much. But the new team is like, you know, you have Kate, who is like, she's not really like, you know, she joined the cog to help with the locust thing, but she's like, you know, kind of she's an outsider. You have Del, who's like really smart and has way too much useless information. You know, you have JD, who's a son of Marcus Fenix, but, you know, he's not who he seems, you know, stuff like that. So there's a bit more character depth. The thing I didn't like about this game was the character development, which they used as a tool for the story itself, right? So the one character that you're going to grow to hate really fast is Foz in the beginning of the game, right? And it's clear just how they present him. They want you to dislike this guy. He is a dick to Del for no reason. And you find out later on, it really was no reason at all for him to be a dick like that, you know?
Literally just his personality. It's also the same reason they gave him a British accent, is just to make him sound like more of an ass.
The dude, you run into the dude fucking sparring with sunglasses on. Who the fuck does that?
He never takes his sunglasses off.
Who the fuck spars with those glasses? Should have broke, bro. You got punched in the face by a robot.
He was like literally a dick for no reason. Like, he was just antagonizing Del over and over and over again. And they really drove that home. And he was a dick for no reason. And then when you get to chapter 3, it just flips over. Like, he's not really a dick anymore. You kind of start to like him after the shit he did in chapter 1. Like, you have a whole chapter to kind of just, like, you know, let that sit for a while. But, like, if you play the end of chapter 1 and the beginning of chapter 3, you're going to be like, what the fuck? And, like, that 180 almost they did with him is really dumb. then JD had a personality shift from the previous game in Act, like, so from Gears 4 to Act 1 Gears 5, he had a kind of like a personality shift, right? And then he has another personality shift in Act 2, and then another personality shift in Act 3. And honestly, in my opinion, the only reason they made him have that personality shift is so they, I don't want to spoil it, is so they can blame something on him that then shifts you from playing him to Kate. In my opinion, they're trying to figure out a way to move the main character from JD to Kate, when in my opinion, just start the fucking game with you playing Kate.
I don't know why. Why didn't they do that in Gears 4? Like,
well, because
that
they,
was
so,
the plan all along.
Well, JD, it wasn't the plan. It wasn't the plan. The plan was that JD, he's Marcus Fenix's son. You played Marcus Fenix throughout the entire series, first, you know, trilogy. You're gonna play JD throughout the entire, you know, second trilogy. That makes sense. That makes sense. Let's be perfectly real with this. This is a social thing. They're like, well, we'll make it a female gear that you can play now, you know, because they made a big deal in Gears 3 that you could play female Gears, period, you know, and now a female is going to be the star of the show. It's a total social thing. Yeah. Am I mad about it? I'm not.
No, to be fair, I like Kate. I like playing as Kate. She was pretty cool throughout the entire game.
I don't give a fuck who I play as. I could play as Del. I could play as Foz. I could play as Kate. I could play as JD. If they gave Jack legs and a fucking Lancer, I play as Jack. I don't care.
Well, it's like, they could have made any of them have the Locust connection. It's just whoever has the Locust connection is probably going to be the more interesting character.
Well, it makes more sense. It makes sense for Kate to have the Locust connection because, like, the Locusts have a queen. They're a matriarchal. Is that the word?
Right.
Yes, society. Right. So it makes more sense for her to have the Locust connection. I get that. But, like, you know, they could have easily made it so that in the beginning of Gears 5, JD had been promoted to, you know, to a more senior position, and Kate was now in charge of Delta, right?
Right.
You know? And you can say, well, Del should be in charge of Delta because he was with JD. Well, first of all, Del and JD left the COG, so that's one thing. But two, they can say, well, Del was working with, like, maybe Del was running his own squad, right? And then something happens in the game, and you come back together. I'm pretty sure that's exactly what happened in Gears 2, because in Gears 2, you don't run with Baird and Cole in the beginning of the game. You run with two other people. So, like, you know, and by the end of the game, or, like, within a few chapters, you're back, the old squad is back together. They could have did that. They didn't need to make JD a dick, you know, or blame this horrible thing on him, which kind of doesn't make sense if you look at, you know, how much they hated the COG. Like, JD hated the COG in Gears 4. And based on the information that you get in this game, that it doesn't make much sense, right?
Well, he becomes a lapdog again, and then he stops. It becomes hate the COG again in Chapter 3. I'm like, what just changed?
Right, like, so, yeah, it's like, the way his character went back and forth, I was like, they could have handled that better. In my opinion, it was lazy. That's my big red bat. It was just lazy the way they did the handoff. Like I said, I don't care that they did the handoff. Just make, like, if you're going to, you know, try to tie it in a bit better here, you know what I'm saying? Use some of that Fortnite money. Oh, never mind. Sorry. It's not an Epic game anymore. It's a Microsoft game. Use that Microsoft money. You know, use that Microsoft money. Get some good writers in there. You know, so. But, yeah, I mean, I think that's really the only gripe I had, is the fact that when you get to Act 3, you know, Foz and JD kind of hop back into the story, and you're just kind of like, okay. And there's, like, barely any friction, too. Like, I was like, okay, there's going to be some friction, or they're going to turn on them, or something's going to happen. And nope, there's no friction at all. It's just kind of like, yeah, we're really sorry. Let's get the band back together. You know, like,
the entire time I thought they were just trying to get there to pull something, but nothing ever happened. Especially since I expect Foz to be like, be a backstabber and just throw me to something. But no, he tried to save my life. I'm like, oh.
Yeah, exactly. Right. Yeah, so, yeah. There's and actually, by the time this game is over, Foz is a likable character. He is. Like, by the time this game is over, especially, there's a choice that has to be made in Act 4, and depending on your choice, you might actually feel bad for him, like, you know, a little later in the game, so.
I hate that choice. I did not see that coming at all.
I am curious to see how it turns out. I to see what happens with the choice, but I don't want to get too deep into that because I don't want to spoil it for anybody.
Oh yeah. So, but it'll definitely see how they do it in Gear 6.
Yeah. So, all right. Well, I think that's it. Anybody have any closing comments on Gears 5? I mean, Mike, he's still not convinced that he's not a Gears man.
Horde is fine. That's all I'm gonna say.
Like the multiplayer is still great in here as it was in the last few games. I was enjoying playing some of that, and the escape mode so far, I did enjoy that. There's like the, it's not fun to play unless you're playing with friends. The randoms just constantly leave you behind and run away, and the weapon spawns weren't too interesting. They kept like the same enemies, but it could also be that I was in the beginning areas and had to unlock the harder modes.
Right, I didn't get a chance to play the well, because so Gears multiplayer is like Call of Duty multiplayer. It's not going to change that much. Anyways, you're going to get new maps, things like that, but it's not going to change that much.
It's still good. It's just, are you into this? If you're into this,
you like it.
If you're not, right, yeah.
The only nitpick that you'll have is if you're really into Gears multiplayer. Like that's it's like that. Like you'd have to be really into Gears multiplayer to nitpick. Like it's like people who play Halo multiplayer will nitpick over the different Halo multiplayers. It's all the same to me.
There was that weird thing they have in the multiplayer. There is like a like passes and stuff you can buy and upgrades, and there's a store. I didn't understand the place of that in the game. I'm like, okay, why is this here?
You could probably get XP boosts and stuff like that. That's pretty par for the course. You know, people say, oh, play to win, play to win. Ah, suck it up. Either spend the hours or get the XP boost. Doesn't matter. It is what it is. So, but all right. Well, with that, we're going to go ahead and close up this hit point. Thank you very much for listening. Like I said, we're always open for feedback, especially on these hit points, you know, so you can drop us a line in Discord, which is discord.me/smashthosebuttons. You can send us an email at contact@smashthosebuttons.com. You can hit us up on Twitter at The Mash Network. And once again, I'd like to thank you guys for being a patron. Thank you very much for your support. We really do appreciate it. I know the hit points recently have been more games focused. I got to be honest, it's probably because Nick had a baby and he's my news guy. Like, he's the guy I argue about news with. Yeah, so blame Nick for being a sex machine and having a baby. Oh, you know?
We need our defender here to help us.
Yeah, again, Nick is the games industry public defender. So actually some quite a bit of interesting stuff has been happening, and we haven't really been able to go back and forth on it. So we'll probably start with those hit points again. With Nick, because I'll be honest, I'm a tough person to argue against when it comes to stuff like that, and Nick knows how to push the right buttons, just like Mike can push my buttons when it comes to games. So
this is true.
we're gonna gear those back up again, and you know, get that going. But like in the meantime, thank you guys for supporting. We really do appreciate it, and we'll see you on the next hit point. I think it's going to be Astral Chain. I think that's going to be our next hit point. So, all right. Catch you guys later.
Peace out.
Later, guys.
Thanks for listening to a Mash Those Buttons production. If you enjoyed the show, you should check out mashthosebuttons.com and see if any of our other shows might interest you. All of our shows are available on your podcast platform of choice like Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, and more. If you enjoy our content, you can help support Mash Those Buttons by becoming a patron at patreon.com/mashthosebuttons, where you can receive Patreon bonuses for as little as $1 a month. You can connect with Mash Those Buttons at twitter.com/TheMashNetwork, facebook.com/MashThoseButtons, or join our Discord at mash.gg/discord.